very good morning. I bring greetings to you from fellow believers in Singapore. I greet you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is my joy and privilege to be again in your presence. I've been here a couple of times in this, and one more time to bring the Word of God to you. Thank you for your prayers. In the Lord's goodness, I've been in Turkey. I'm sure you get my updates now and then. I don't write very often. That's not my style. So once in a while I write to Harold, and I'm sure he bring it to you. So thank you for your prayers. July I was in Turkey, and August I was in Lombok. I think you know what's happening in Lombok, Indonesia. So I've been there with the team. Thank you for praying. It has been a tremendous time of blessing, I must say. I always believe that trials are time of blessing. Trouble are time of blessing. Trials and troubles and testings are time of blessing. Because through trouble, trials and testing, God promotes us. So that's what I believe to be. Now, God willing, we're going to look at Psalm 118. It's a beautiful psalm, Psalm 118. Normally people like the Psalm 119, but I somehow rather been able to trace this for myself, which has cherished me, has nourished me, and I have been greatly helped. Psalm 118, a couple of verses from Psalm 118. We're going to look at three things. First, the celebration. This morning we had a celebration. We celebrate God's one and only Son, Jesus Christ, the Lord. We celebrated together as a redeemed company. We celebrated Him and bringing Him before our Father as our offering, the praises of our lips. Isn't it? And so we are thankful, we celebrate. So we are going to look at the celebration, and then we are going to look at the certainty. You see, a celebration has to have some certainty. So we're going to look at the certainty. The celebration, the certainty, and then, God willing, the third one will be the coming. This time it's going to be the coming again. So let me quickly read to you from Psalm 118. I'm going to read to you verse 21, 22, 23, and 24. Psalm 118, 22, 23, and 24. That's where we see the celebration. The stone which the builder refused is become the head of the cornerstone. Straight away we know this is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock of ages, right? So we have that. Now, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Do you know why? Because this today is the day of salvation. That's why there is rejoicing. You see, our rejoicing as believers in Christ is going to continue because there is an opportunity for sinners to turn and come into relationship with God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what we rejoice in it. All right? Okay, so I will continue this even after the second meeting, but in a different format. But for you this morning, it is this, our celebration. Now, whenever I speak a bit loud, I don't know how many of you are using hearing aid. Can I see? Oh, only one. Okay. If I disturb your ears, please forgive me. Because whenever I speak with a loud voice, I say it is a motivational speech. But many kids tells me that it is yelling on demand. Now, well, that's not my case. So if I disturb you, please bear with me, because at time when I get into the message, I somehow rather raise my voice. All right. Now, I believe that in the Lord Jesus Christ, we live by faith, looking towards the blessed hope. It is the hope that drives us. The glorious hope in Christ Jesus. That's what drives us. It is because of that hope that we are drawn together in Christ Jesus as a redeemed company to come and remember Him. Isn't it? And the remembrance is celebration. Why we celebrate the victory that the Lord Jesus Christ bought for us on Calvary's cross. It's a victory. And so when we show forth the death till He comes, we are celebrating a victory. You see, in trouble, in trial, in testing, there is always a blessing. All right? So we are celebrating victory. So the Bible says, this is the Lord's doing. That's why we celebrate. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous if we consider in our heart, in the eyes of faith. You see that verse now? And that helps you? Keep it up this way. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes, which means with the eyes of faith, as we ponder upon the mighty work of God in Christ Jesus to draw us to Himself through the work that He went through. We celebrate that. We celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. How uniquely He came into this world. And then we celebrate His life and ministry in this world. We celebrate His going on to the cross. We celebrate all that He endured as our sins were laid on Him. And He, the only perfect man who could ever take away our sin and set us free. See, we celebrate that. We celebrate His death. We celebrate His life because He rose from the dead. And we keep celebrating, you know why? We keep celebrating because not only He is living in us, He has given us this blessed hope, this glorious hope. Now, how do we know this is so? Look at verse 17. We have the certainty of that. We have the certainty of that. Verse 17. I shall not die, says the psalmist. I shall not die. Here he is confirming what the Lord Jesus Christ told Mary and Martha and the Jewish people that were grieving over the death of Lazarus. I shall not die. Didn't the Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the resurrection and the life. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. Why? You live in Christ. No wonder Paul says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And the psalmist says, precious is in the sight of the Lord the death of a saint. And those things are so wonderful. It's so impressing our heart to rejoice with the Lord. Yes, I shall not die. Now the next one gives us, best is yet to come. All right? Write that down. Best is yet to come. What is it? I shall not die, but live. See? But live. Now, why do we live for? Do you realize? If you ask yourself, why do I live for? I live for the fulfilling of God's plan. I live for employing God's purpose. See? I live for God's plan. I live to employ God's purpose. I live for the pleasure of God. That's my aim. That's my goal. That's my motivation. That's what is going to drive me. If I'm going to be sick, I'm going to be driven over the sickness. Not that I will not be sick. I can become sick. And sickness can come to any one of us. But I'm going to get over the sickness because this is what is helping me. I am living. I'm alive. I live for the plan of God. For the purpose of God. For the pleasure of God. To please Him. And so I become an overcomer. And so I celebrate. And I celebrate with certainty. Wonderful, isn't it? What a wonderful word of God in Christ Jesus for us. Now, so let's read verse 17 again. I shall not die, but live. And I live for what? Declare the works of the Lord. Declare the works of the Lord. You know, I have visited many, many saints in the hospitals. And I remember an elderly man, Dr. Chia. I visited him for at least 2.5 years in the hospital. He himself was a doctor. His son was at the head of the radiologist, and he was living in the hospital. And then every time when I go there to visit him, I'm always thinking and praying and asking the Lord to help me to go and encourage him. But when I get there, he encourages me. How? He has witnessed to a nurse. He has witnessed to a patient. He has witnessed to a patient's relatives. He has witnessed to the patient's son. And they have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You see that? I live. Why do I live? I live to declare the works of the Lord. I live to declare the works of the Lord. Beloved, just take this to our heart. If every day and every moment of the day, if possible, if I keep looking back, or if I in faith begin to employ myself upon the works of the Lord, you know what will it happen? It will cause me to celebrate. No wonder Paul and Silas were in prison. They were celebrating. They were singing. You know why? Because their thoughts were in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when their thoughts were in the Lord Jesus Christ, the angel came and shook the ground and then broke the prison and set them free. Isn't it? That's so wonderful. It's amazing. I can tell you this. This is what is happening in Turkey today. You might be reading of it. You may be listening to it. You may see it in your news as well as also in the YouTubes. Now today, more and more brothers who are preaching the gospel has a Muslim name behind. It's simply because of this work. The Lord enabled us to go into this part of the world called Gulf area, which is Jordan, Syria, Turkey, Lebanon, Egypt. And all of this world, more and more people are coming to the Lord. Iraq and Iran, Kuwait, Bahrain, Abu Dhabi. More and more people coming to the Lord. I'm ashamed of myself when I come back home. We are not coming to the Lord as much as before. But in this place, hundreds of them are coming to the Lord. And we who know the goodness and we are set on freedom to look at the Bible and learn the Bible and read the Word of God and hear all the messages that we want to hear, and yet we are not coming in to bring others to the Lord because we do not declare the works of the Lord. So listen to this psalmist. What he says, I shall not die but live, verse 17, and declare the goodness of the Lord. I can tell you what is happening in Turkey. Here was this young brother, a believer. He had a wonderful time. He went out to the streets. Actually, that caused a lot of problem. And I can tell you, trouble is always a blessing. It causes a lot of trouble. We were in trouble. We were six of us. We were taken by the so-called religious leaders of that country. But this young man, he went out. He declared the works of the Lord. And so there came a strong man with government influence, with ability, and wanting to help this young believer. He came and said, son, can I help you? He turned around and said, no, sir, my God will save me. Then this officer left. He was still declaring the work of the Lord on the streets. Now, what is going to happen to him? He's going to be stoned to death. But he still kept on declaring the works of the Lord on the streets. Then came another group of people. This time, they were security personnel. And they came and said, son, can we help you? And he says, thank you, sir. My God will save me. No, they told him, if you kept on this, you're going to be stoned to death. He kept on going and says, declaring the works of the Lord. When he talked about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he said, he is alive, then came those rebels of the faith in that country. I don't want to mention it. The faith of that country, I'm sure you know what faith they are. And they stoned him. And they stoned him to death. He died. And then he was taken to the presence of the Lord. And there, he was asked, according to his wife. His wife got a dream. And in that dream, she said, he was asked by the Lord Jesus Christ, living Lord Jesus Christ, how did you arrive here? And he says, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ who died and rose for me. And therefore I declare his works. He is a living Savior. Come and believe him. And they stoned me and I died. I know because the Lord Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. In him I am risen. He says, hallelujah, I am here. You see that now? How did he get to the presence of the Lord? With joy, with rejoicing, even though he's been stoned to death. It's simply because he was declaring the works of the Lord. So brothers and sisters, take this to heart. Now I should stop at this time, is it? 11, okay, so I can carry on another while. All right, there you are. So we have the best is yet to come. Why is the best yet to come? It's because we are motivated, we are moved, we are manipulated in one way or another if we allow the Holy Spirit to manipulate us. We are moved, we are manipulated by this blessed hope that we have. the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have now the celebration. We have looked into the certainty. Now we are going to look at the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be very soon. You see, it is always something that awaits for us as we wait for the Lord Jesus. Something more wonderful, more glorious, and more perfect than everything that is here in this world. Isn't it? Everything is going to be changed. You see, in Christ Jesus, our life, number one, gets regenerated. And in through the regeneration, our life is transformed. There's a change that is taking place. That's how we know each other as believers, because there is a change taking place in us. We used to think this way. Now no more. We are thinking in the way of the Lord. And therefore, last time we declare our works, we declare ourselves. Here now we declare the works of the Lord. So there is a change. And that's transformation. So transformation takes place. See, regeneration brings transformation. But hope, you know, hope brings what? Hope brings our whole life into a new atmosphere. We're going to be changed now from this wild body to that glorious body, that of the Lord Jesus Christ, after the kind of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we have possessed a body after the kind of Adam. Now this body is going to be put to earth back again. And our body is now going to be changed after the kind of that our Redeemer, our Savior, our Lord, our glorious Master, the Lord Jesus Christ. This body, this vile body, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21. This vile body is going to be transformed. You see, it's going to be changed into that glorious body. So everything and anything in this body that is so weak in us will all be taken away. You see me limping, isn't it? If you watch me walking carefully, you will see me that I always find the ground not in level. I always have a complaint. The ground is not level because I limp. But then I'm going to be there made perfect. I will limp no more. So don't come and look for Ramalingam right in the presence of the Lord and not limping anymore. That's what it's going to be. Because of the change, the glorious change. Now you see, I wear glasses here, but don't come and look for Ramalingam who wears glasses. There is no need for glasses. I can see as the Lord enables me to see. I can see more specially. I can see with the eyes that are so glorious that I can see it into the revelation of God and His glories. Wonderful, isn't it? Yes, that is the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is going to bring a wondrous transformation in our life. God bless you with this word. May today your heart be strengthened. May you be ministered, not only just to your head. It's good to have something ministered to your head. But let this also soak into your heart. I hope it has done some good to you. The best is yet to come. God bless you.